Thanks, Nathan. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We're going to turn now to our good friend Mark Hyman. On Sunday afternoon, the Orioles wrapped up their 2015 season with one last winning streak, but even after sweeping the Yankees, and let's face it, that was pretty sweet, the Birds finished the season in baseball purgatory at exactly 500. They won 81, and they lost 81 games. While we did technically avoid a losing season, O's fans view this past year as a disappointment after getting to the American League Championship Series just the year before. What's more is that six big contributors to the Orioles' success, including the reigning home run champion Chris Davis, are entering into free agency. So players, analysts, and fans alike agree that this offseason could be make or break for the Orioles. And just down the road on Russell Street, the Ravens are in unfamiliar territory. They're tied with the Cleveland Browns for last place. With the likes of Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yanda, Dennis Pitta, and Steve Smith Sr. on the DL, the Ravens have a 1-3 record that marks their worst season start since 2005. So we are joined by Maryland Morning sports guru Mark Hyman. He's a professor at George Washington University, where he teaches courses in sports management, and his most recent book is called Concussions and Our Kids. Good morning, sir. Good to see you.
Hi, Tom. Good to be in Baltimore.
Yes, indeed. The Orioles offseason, what's their charge? What do we need to do to turn things around?
Well, I think that there are certain key pieces that they may lose because, you know, six important parts of the team, free agent players, all of whom could walk, and I think it's going to be they're going to have to make some strategic decisions about which pieces are most important. And if they lose players like Chris Davis and Matt Wieters and Darren O'Day, can they bring in other pieces that are going to compensate for that loss?
You know, it's tough. Like at the end of last season, all of a sudden Nick Markakis goes to Atlanta. Nelson Cruz, who had been so productive at the plate for the Orioles in their run to the ALCS, was traded. On the other hand, you know, you take a look at a guy like Markakis. You pointed out to us earlier this summer, his first home run for Atlanta wasn't until July. By the end of the season, Nick Markakis had only hit three home runs for Atlanta. That's actually three more than you and I hit this year. So it's tough to know sometimes how trades are going to affect people. Is it a matter of, you know, with people like Matt Wieters and Chris Davis, who is the home run champion, is it a matter of Mr. Angelos's reluctance to spend money? What is it? Is it simply that, or is it anything more than that?
Well, let's take a step back. Why do we talk about payrolls in baseball? And we seldom talk about them in football. I think it would be helpful to talk about that. The National Football League has a salary cap, what is referred to as a hard cap. So each team is limited to pretty much the same salary obligations. Every team the same. This year it's $143 million. So the Ravens can't exceed that number, nor can the New York Giants or the San Francisco 49ers. Baseball is very different in this respect. The Los Angeles Dodgers this year had the largest payroll in baseball, and it was three times the payroll of the Miami Marlins, which had the lowest payroll. So there's a lot of speculation and really not that much knowledge about what goes into the logic of what a team wants to spend on talent. We don't really know what the Orioles' profits are or their revenues are. We don't know that.
It's not like it's a publicly traded company and we get that information on a quarterly basis. Yeah.
No, it's a privately held company. So, you know, the Orioles are making decisions on, with information that we don't have access to.
And it's weird. It's kind of like, it reminds me of valuation in the art market. You know, why does one painting, you know, cost more than the GDP of several Caribbean countries? You know, who decides? You know, it's the market bear. So, you know, what does it mean to overpay or underpay a player in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, the salaries of Major League Baseball players rise significantly every year. And people focus on that and wonder, you know, why should Chris Davis may make $30 million next year. That's a possibility. This year, he made $12 million. Now, it's true that next year, you know, he's entering his eligibility for free agency, so his status is changing. But, you know, people look at that and they wonder, how could a player who was worth 12 last year be worth 30? You know, one thing I'd like to point out is think about the valuation of professional sports franchises. Peter Angelos bought the Orioles in 1993 for $173 million. At the time, that was the highest price ever paid for a professional sports franchise. Bloomberg Sports recently valued the Orioles at $1.1 billion. So everything having to do with sports is escalating in value, both player salaries and, of course, the value of franchises themselves.
Yeah, Carl Sagan, that's billion with a B. I mean, that's a lot of money for a franchise. But, you know, for example, Adam Jones made news a few days ago by saying that this summer or this winter he's going to meet with Mr. Angelos to appeal to him to make a bigger investment in the team. You know, what do you think that what are the metrics that a guy like Mr. Angelos is making? Because there are other metrics, sort of famous metrics. You know, you've got the sort of money ball approach to baseball, saying you don't need big stars, you need people who do little things well. Yeah. Do you think Angelos is adapting that strategy, or a sort of an amalgam of stars and money ball players?
I'm sure he wants a competitive team on the field because it's in his financial interest to do that. You know, it's important that people feel that the team beginning the season has a chance to be competitive and advance to the postseason. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think last offseason is going to be instructive and may inform what the Orioles do. The Orioles allowed two pretty significant players to leave via free agency last year, Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis, the player that you mentioned. Nelson Cruz hit over 40 home runs this year. He would have been a very important piece. The Orioles season may have ended very differently if Nelson Cruz had been signed to a contract. Nick Markakis only hit 3 home runs for the Atlanta Braves, and that's not very many for a corner outfielder. Yet he hit .295, and he would have been an upgrade over what the Orioles had in right field this year. And in fact, you know, I think it's important to point out the Orioles replaced Nick Markakis with players who did not measure up in any way. The Orioles had 5 outfielders on their roster during the season that they released during the season. So, you know, Dan Duquette, who is the essentially the general manager of the team, he made some personnel decisions that certainly could be second-guessed this year.
Speaking of personnel decisions, let me try this scenario on for size with you. Dan Duquette, who voiced some interest in leaving the Orioles and going to work for Toronto, I guess, leaves. Buck Showalter is replaced as a manager. He becomes the general manager of the team, and Cal Ripken becomes the manager of the Orioles. Is this crazy talk?
This sounds either like a dream or a report that I read in the New York Post recently. Yeah, Joel Sherman.
It's so difficult to discern between those two things, at least in my life. I know what you mean.
Joel Sherman of the New York Post reported last week that this has been reported elsewhere, that during the season there was friction between Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter, which would not be surprising given the kind of season the Orioles had. And that one scenario that had been discussed was for Buck to move upstairs and to the front office and for Cal to be the manager. And all sides have denied this. The Orioles have, and Cal's people have indicated that this is not something that has been discussed. And even last week, Buck and Dan Duquette indicated that they would be back next year in their same job. So I think we have to take them at their word.
Cal Ripken, it seems, aspires to be a major league manager. He's certainly a legendary Hall of Fame player. What's your take about his temperament, his experience, his proclivity for being successful? The Nationals fired their manager, Mr. Williams, and there was some speculation in Washington that Cal Ripken perhaps would be a candidate for that job. That seems to have been tamped down by the management of the Nationals. In general, whether he's managing here or someplace else, would Cal Ripken be a good major league manager?
You know, the only thing that Cal hasn't really done in his career in baseball is manage. He's done virtually everything else. And I think he would be a good manager. And I think, although he hasn't explicitly said so, I think he really very much would like to manage in the big leagues. I think that's the one part of his resume that is kind of missing and that he would enjoy doing. He's in a difficult spot because the job I think that he most wants is the Orioles job. And, unless Buck elects to move to the front office or do something else with his life, I don't see an opportunity for him right now.
Can a player as good as Cal Ripken, a player as, dominant when he was playing, can he relate to the younger players, to rookies, to kids, or to people, even veterans, who just don't have that kind of basic gift that he had?
Yeah, it's interesting. There are two managers who began the season this year who are Hall of Famers, Ryan Sandberg and Paul Molitor. And Ryan Sandberg was manager of the Phillies. And, of course, their teams were very different. Ryan Sandberg's team, the Phillies, were not a good team. And Sandberg resigned in the middle of the season, had a miserable season. And I think you'd have to say was a failure as manager of the Phillies. Paul Molitor, on the other hand, had never managed before. And he took over the Twins, and they had a very good season and were in the wild card hunt until the last day of the season. So I don't think one's status as a Hall of Famer is disqualifying or elevates somebody as a potential manager. I think the challenge for Cal would be, the primary challenge is that he's never managed at any level and in fact, has never been a major league coach. And that's a hole in his resume that I think gives pause to some clubs.
On 88.1, Mark Hyman joining me here in Studio A. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. We're talking sports. Let's talk a little bit more about baseball. Rob Manfred, the current commissioner of Major League Baseball, spoke at the National Press Club a while back and said, raised the specter that there might be a Major League franchise in Mexico. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I attended this event. It was very interesting. And Rob was asked about expansion, Major League expansion, and he indicated the next Major League franchises likely would be located in Canada or Mexico, not in the U.S. And, of course, Montreal is a site in Canada that is likely because there's been Major League Baseball in Montreal. But he actually made a visit this week to Mexico and seems to be very enthusiastic about the possibility of Major League Baseball in Mexico. And the Mexican government or business interests there, they're interested too, because when Manfred arrived at a new stadium that had been built, there was a plaque, a Rob Manfred plaque that had been erected at the stadium. So they're clearly lobbying Rob Manfred.
The froggy comes a-courting there, huh?
So, yeah, it seems that Mexico is a potential expansion site.
Bud Selig, the former commissioner, gave an address at the Smithsonian around the same time Mr. Manfred was speaking at the National Press Club, and he had a somewhat iconoclastic suggestion for Major League Baseball, and that is that Marvin Miller, who headed the Players Union, should be in the Hall of Fame. This is Mr. Miller, known for many years among Major League management as Darth Vader. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, it was interesting. I'd never heard Bud Selig say anything kind about Marvin Miller, or any owner say anything kind about Marvin Miller, because he really changed the game in a fundamental way. When Marvin Miller became executive director of the Major League Players Association, that was in 1966. The average player salary was $17,000. This year it was $4.25 million. So you have to say that he was, a transformational
figure. Pretty effective guy, yeah.
He was. He died in 2012 in his 90s and was not in the Hall of Fame, and it was kind of a disappointment to a lot of people, including Marvin Miller. So I was very pleased to hear Bud Selig say that.
Just got a little bit of time left. Let's talk about the Ravens. There are a whole lot of folks that are banged up and hurt on the Ravens. Do we have anybody at the moment who is skilled at catching passes who isn't on the injured list?
Well, it's a problem because, Joe Flacco has a great arm and likes to throw the ball downfield, and the Ravens, really, their deep threats are on the bench right now. It'll be interesting to see if Steve Smith Sr. plays. He was after the Bengals game, he was diagnosed with multiple micro fractures in his back, which would put me out for about 10 years. But they're talking about the possibility that he might play on Sunday. And the Ravens have had other injuries. Breshad Perriman, their number one draft pick, was injured in practice on July 30. He has not he's not played.
And Coach Harbaugh seems to be a little miffed at that. He's wondering why it's taken Mr. Perryman so long to come back.
Yeah, he referred to the injury as one of the all-time slowest to heal this week, which is not what you want to hear from your boss.
Well, they do have a schedule that gets a little easier for the next few weeks. They had a bad start, certainly, with losing the first three games. But, you know, let's see what happens with them. I want to talk very briefly about Randy Edsall. It appears he's on the ropes at the University of Maryland as the football coach.
Yeah, Maryland is having a dismal year. They lost to Bowling Green. If you're a Big Ten team, you don't lose to Bowling Green.
Yeah.
But it remains to be seen whether he will survive after this weekend as coach.
Of course, if they decide to terminate his contract, it's going to cost the University of Maryland, ergo the taxpayers of the state of Maryland, a whole lot of money to release him.
So it'll be expensive.
It's a complicated decision. All right. Well, Mark, always good to see you. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
Mark Hyman is a professor at George Washington University, where he teaches courses in sports management. He's the author of three books. The most recent is Concussions and Our Kids. Stay with us. Still ahead on Maryland Morning, a history of Baltimore's Guilford neighborhood.